Hello.
Hello.
What are we calling this?
A review of 2024 is the boring title. Can you come up with something better?
The splatties. But
what, how
the poopies and the goodies.
I hate your movie. The Hyams. Ihams.
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 I thought you were writing a haiku. Just like counting the syllables. This is the best and worst of 2024.
Yes.
Woo! We did an extensive list.
We did. So we looked up all the films that have released in 2024. More difficult than you think to find a list of films that are just released in 2024. So we went on IMDb and did all of the films from the 1st of January to the 30th of December. And it came up with 18,485 films.
Yes. And I'm happy to share that I watched all of those. And I have objective opinions on all of those movies that you can't refute.
To be honest, that's kind of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with films at the minute, there's too many. There's just too many. So how long would average film? Hour and a half?
Yeah.
So you times that by...
Although those Bollywood movies goes up for 3-4 hours.
Do you reckon two?
Yeah, let's do two nowadays.
So that's 36,000 hours.
Mm-hmm.
How many hours there are there in a year?
Well, 365 times 24.
Aren't you clever? There's only 8,000 hours in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So what did I say, 36,000?
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at over 4 years worth of content produced in a year.
Without breaks.
Without breaks, without breaks, without sleep.
Without sleep.
Without anything else.
Mm-hmm.
If you sat down and watched all the films made in 2024, you'd be there for over four
and that's
years.
That's just the films and doesn't include TV shows. that would be even crazier probably, right?
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Yeah.
That's just mad.
Yeah.
And like you said, a lot of them are films made like... all around the world. But I think like Hollywood in general, Hollywood and UK and all the main countries that make like mainstream films, there's just too many.
Yeah. So let's talk about them.
Yay, yes. Enough of that. Let's do an awards ceremony. I think we should run down the categories.
So we have Nope, or the award for What Were They Thinking?
You're gonna say all of them like that?
Yeah. You should too. Like an annoying radio DJ.
We also have the award for the streaming dumpster fire film of the year.
The highly coveted streaming dumpster fire. And we have the award for that film I was going to get around watching at some point.
Woo, yay! We also have the Adam... I don't get this award.
You don't get it? I'll explain it.
Cool. We have the Adam Sandler Award for They Just Wanted to Go on a Holiday.
Yes. Isn't it self-explanatory? Adam Sandler, at some point, he doesn't address all his crimes, which there are many, allegedly. But he did say that lots of his films, he just wanted to go on a holiday and built a film around that. And we have Most Forgettable Movie.
Worst Sequel Bait.
And then we have the highly coveted Sam Worthington Award for Forced Acting Career.
Best Costume or Look.
And then we have Best Boy in Any Film, Could Be Female.
I don't get that either.
I thought just it sounds good, the best boy in any film. But what I mean by that, it could be best girl. I'm just calling it best boy.
Okay.
Because all dogs are best boys, even the girl ones.
Anyway, we also have most unique film.
Don't forget to check out the funniest moment.
Best actor or actress.
Best screenplay.
And worst movie.
And the best movie.
In our opinions.
No, objectively. Scientifically proven.
Cool. Right, so yes, there's been a lot of films this year, which it's been a mixed bag all the way through. I assume the writer's strike had something massively to do with the quality of the films that have been released.
You did say you had a hard time keeping positive.
So yeah, I went into this research, because Dan was coming up with all these funky little categories, and some of them were a bit like, oh, we're gonna shit on all the films for the year. So I thought, no, I'm gonna come in positive, I'm gonna just come in with the best of this and the best of that. And then I did my research and just dragged me so far down until I created the dumpster fire of streaming category.
What you don't know is that I started out like that, because I was censoring myself, but your voice in my back of my back of my head, I was like, oh, he's gonna say there's too many negative things, blah, 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 blah. So I already biased against positive things, even though it didn't look like it. I tried my best, but yeah, it was probably right to strike, at least for half the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cinemas don't know what's gonna happen, you know. It's one of those things where like the whole industry is kind of shaky. They don't really know how to release a movie, how to market a movie anymore. It's mm-hmm. all kind of up in the air right now.
Yeah.
Let's start with the award for that film I was going to get around watching at some point.
You want
to
start there?
Yeah, I want to start there, and then we can go in order, because this was your idea and I added to it, and this was my... I was going to say this anyway. It's like my honorable mentions list, basically,
mm-hmm.
because there's some bigger movies I haven't got around watching that I wanted to.
Yep.
And would maybe on this list in some capacity,
mm-hmm.
but I just didn't get around to it.
Yeah, these are films that we just didn't watch.
Yeah.
Basically. But they look quite good. So mm-hmm. it's more like, for me, it was more like an apology to the audience who, you know, there might be aspects of these films that would be in the other awards, but we just haven't seen them.
Yeah.
I really want to go see Argyle, mm-hmm. for example. I don't know what stopped me going to see that, and nobody else went to see it either.
No.
It was like one of the biggest flops of the year. Don't know why. Looks cool. Looks fun.
I heard bad things.
Yeah, but you know, you hear bad things, but something can still be like stupid fun.
Yeah.
You can still have a Venom 1 experience and enjoy it still. But it's the same with my next film on the list, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yeah, the new Guy Ritchie film.
Is that a Guy Ritchie, was
I'm
it?
I'm pretty sure. It looks like a Guy Ritchie film if it's not him.
But yeah, that had Henry Cavill in it. It had the big guy from Reacher I really like.
One big movie that I missed this year, and it's kind of should be right up my alley, but for some reason I didn't get around to it, is Long Legs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage, right?
Nicolas Cage, Oz Perkins, the son of something Perkins. The guy who was Psycho.
Sue Perkins?
No.
Do you know who Sue Perkins is? She's the woman from the Great British Bake Off.
Okay. Yeah, sure. He'd see his mother horrific creations and decided to make horror films. No, it's Anthony Perkins. That's it. He was Mr. Psycho from Psycho.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Jonathan Psycho. son of Jonathan Psycho. He's made awesome horror films. Like, really good ones. But for some reason, I couldn't get around to this one. I still hear good things. I think one thing that keep me away from it is that I've heard it's kind of like a cop drama as well.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh.
Buddy cop drama.
No, not like that. But like more like a procedural, like really, you're really following the crime investigations. That kind of turned me off.
Mm.
But I'm pretty sure it's good.
Next one on the list for me is My Old Ass. Aubrey Plaza is always fantastic in everything, and I feel like if I've seen this, she would be right up there in the Best Actor Award, Actor Actress Award.
Yeah.
And I just didn't see it. Again, heard really good things. If you get a chance, watch it, because it looks amazing. But
mm-hmm. And then Juror number 2.
Yes.
Clint Eastwood, maybe last film?
Maybe.
Just look at him directing this movie. He looks like about to...
Oh my God.
He's so old.
You can't insult people that people love.
I love Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
He's my icon. I love his movies. He's a great director. so I say this with love.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah.
No, I do love him.
Can I suggest you never work in like an old folks home? I say it with love, but times are ticking.
But yeah, I mean, how long has he has to be going on? Come on.
As long as he wants to. He's like Captain America. Yeah. You'll find him sitting on a bench.
And have you heard about this movie, which is called I Saw the TV Glow?
I haven't heard of that, actually.
It's an indie darling of the latter year, along with The Substance. People are really, really praising this movie. I don't know much about it, other than it might be an allegory of being trans.
Right.
But, like, very vaguely.
Right.
And it looks cool. Like, I watched the trailer. It's got really, you know, one of those color out of space.
Okay, yeah.
Just think like that. It's mm-hmm. just very strong, like, neon colors. And it looks really cool.
Okay. So... That's the list.
Which is the award?
We'll give one an award. We'll give one. What's the film? And you have to commit to watching one of these films. Whichever one you pick as your winner, is you have to commit to watching it before, I don't know, January finishes or something.
Well, then it's I Saw the TV Glow.
Yeah?
It wins the I Haven't Seen Awards.
Mine is Mild Ass, because it looks like a good film.
Mm-hmm.
The others look like dumb fun.
Yeah.
Some of them. Well, not Jura number two, but the rest look like dumb fun.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch Mild Ass, and then, you know, it might be an episode later.
Cause you have to watch Jura number one as well.
I so nearly when it was advertised, because I saw like an ad on Facebook or something, mm-hmm. and it gets targeted to me. I actually typed out, I was like, do I need to watch Jura number one to follow this? I typed it out. I was like, no, I won't.
It's going to be 12 films because there's 12 jurors.
The next category is Nope. And just to expand on what I meant by that, it's the point in which a script gets delivered to a studio and they read it and they go, yeah, that's a good idea, and pass it on. And it's at that point you're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Have you read this script? Do you know what you're talking about?
Sometimes I think the more confusing about that is like famous people getting the script and they're like, yep, yeah, I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why?
Yeah. All you have to do is sum it up in like a sentence.
Yeah.
And you kind of just go, nope, don't want to do it. Don't want anything to do it. So have you heard of the film Ricky Stenicki?
Is that when John Cena is something, right?
It's Ricky Stenicki.
I vaguely remember the trailer.
Yeah. So,
and he has the worst poster I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
So it's a group of friends that, I don't know, slack off or something, and they always say that, you know, they go into Ricky Stenicki's house,
mm-hmm.
and then Ricky Stenicki gets invited to a big gathering of theirs. So they hire John Cena to pretend to be... And again, like, I'm just saying out loud. I don't want to. I don't even want to finish talking about it, let alone watch the fucking thing.
Feels like there's a fundamental issue in the script already. Feels like the comedic irony should be is that there is a Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not that they hire a guy. Because that easily, like, you can just explain again away. Like, oh, he's not coming because X, Y.
He broke his legs.
But, oh shit, there's an actual Ricky Stenicki. And they invited him and he's coming. That's like some tension and mm-hmm. some comedic potential, you know?
Yeah. So that's the nope. You know, it's the kind of, you start describing the plot and then that's it.
I don't understand your edition of Dear Santa on that.
Dear Santa, have you seen this film? Have you heard
I've seen the trailer. Right. It looks... I mean, everyone is sick of Jack Black at the moment.
Well, there you go. So the plot of the film is a kid writes a letter to Santa, but he can't spell Santa, so he spells Satan.
Yeah.
And then Jack Black shows up as the devil.
I like the idea.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't.
No?
No, it's stupid.
I mean, it is stupid, but whatever. It's not stupider than Red One.
Yeah, I think it is, because I think the large population of moviegoers are American. Which is has very religious parts of the country to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just put a big film about Satan on a poster and then put Jack Black in it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's favourite hilarious person. And then that's it.
Was there any backlash though?
Well, no, because nobody watched it.
That's it.
Nobody cared enough to have backlash.
It's a funny joke for 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's a funny episode of Family Guy. It's not it's not a 2-hour film.
Yeah, yeah.
Fly Me to the Moon.
Yeah, well, can you explain what that movie is to me?
This was kind of like where this whole category started. And spoiler alert, it's, you know, a front runner for the...
I've seen this trailer, I'm still confused about what that movie is about.
So, it's set the months leading up to the moon landing. And Channing Tatum is an astronaut / NASA scientist. And he is trying to get people to the moon. Scarlett Johansson is some kind of like marketing advertising person
mm-hmm.
who doesn't believe that's going to happen. So she fakes the moon landing on a sound screen, much to Channing Tatum's ire.
Mm-hmm. But did they actually go to the moon? This movie is like pro?
Right?
Conspiracy
theory? That's what I'm saying. This whole film is like, oh no, the moon landing isn't real or wasn't real. Again, I haven't seen the film. I should have seen the film.
It looks terrible.
It looks awful. It could be like at the end they actually go to the moon. I don't know. But the trailer makes it severely look like this is pro-conspiracy. The moon landing was fake.
Can't wait for the sequel when it's 9/11 was an inside job.
Oh my God.
Channing Tatum in 9/11 was an inside job.
He could have said anything. He could have said anything. Can't wait for the sequel.
Well, what's a big other conspiracy?
Can't wait for the sequel when the Earth was flat. Or, you know. Can't wait for the sequel where the lizard people who control the government get found out. See? There you go.
Yeah.
Less controversial.
Well, I said the funniest one. I'm not taking that out.
Yeah, so that is the absolute definition of what were they thinking.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, have you heard of a movie called Harold and the Purple Crayon?
I have.
It's Zachary Levi's last woke Hollywood film, because he quit Hollywood and he says he's going to do non-woke films, whatever that means. He's just not going to have any minorities in it or whatever.
He's not going to have a career at all.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you...
Yeah, that's what they don't understand, is that people who are on that side of no-woke, they think that like Disney is like trying to manipulate the society or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the opposite happens. That's their focus groups and everything tells them that's what makes money.
Yeah.
If you include more diverse set of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not going to make money.
No.
But, yeah, he has a purple crayon and he can make anything whatsoever. And that's the movie.
Yep. I can kind of understand this from, like, a kid's film point of view. Also, like, Zachary Levi coming off the back of Shazam, which was... pretty good.
That's the thing, it should be a kid playing this, right? Because I think it's based on like some book where a baby has a purple crayon.
Really?
I think so. Something
like
that.
They just put Zachary Levy in it.
Yeah. he's a big baby. And then the Madame Web in the room. What were they thinking? The ultimate what were they thinking movie, right?
I think we need to limit how much we talk about Madame Web through this whole episode.
This is like the Oscars. So Madame Web can sweep, right? Madame Web is going to be like Lord of the Rings at the Oscars. It's going to get 11 Oscars. Madame Web's going to get 11 splatties. But isn't that like the definition of what were they thinking? It's at every point.
I do see what you mean. And I do agree. Like in a massive way. But we've got Madame Web in so many categories.
I know. It's going to sweep. Maybe we talk about more in Madame Web in worst attempt at a franchise start, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worst attempt at a and worst movie.
And worst movie, yeah. Although.
Yeah.
We'll maybe see. Best movie. Which one gets the Nope Award for you?
For me, it's Fly Me to the Moon. It has to be for me. It's the what were they thinking? Why would you release a pro conspiracy theory trailer featuring two actors who don't have any chemistry in a plot that's convoluted and insane?
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea. And then, yeah, again, like, maybe it goes through some stages, the script, but like when the actors get it and they're like, don't they realize this is like damaging to the brand? A little bit, you know, to be associated with crank movies. And then the award for streaming dumpster fire.
Yes, so this I tried to find is films that went straight to streaming.
Yeah.
For very good reason, because they just weren't ever going to make it in the cinema.
What's Damsel?
Damsel, that's C. That's what the kind of film that you just kind of like nobody knows. No, cares. No. Damsel stars Millie Bobby Brown.
Yes.
And she is a princess. Mm-hmm. That gets thrown into a volcano or a cave because there's dragons and she fights a dragon.
Is this a real movie? Are this you is shitting me?
this is a real film.
And, I can't tell if you... this is like your Tron moment.
No, but the thing is she becomes this badass person who like gets burnt and she like doesn't care and... just gets on with it and fights a dragon.
That is bad.
Yeah. should be
called Damsel in Not Distress.
It might as well.
Yeah.
It might as well. So yeah, that was Dumpster Fire. Ah, I tell you what I should have called it. The award for streaming bargain basement. Bargain bucket. Bargain bin. Yes.
I think that's a bit of a mixed metaphor, I think.
Because
streaming and bargain bin don't go together.
Yeah, I suppose.
You can call it, like, what's the bargain bin of streaming? Tubi? It's the Tubi Awards.
Tubi Awards. It's the Freevee Awards.
Yeah, it's the Freevee Awards. You can watch it with 30 ads for free. Let's talk about Rebel Moon.
Yep.
Even like the most hardcore hashtag release the Steiner Cut people don't care.
Do you know what? I get so many targeted things and I don't know how to stop it. Of like people hating on the new Superman trailer.
Stupid. It's like one of the best trailers ever.
It is one of the best trailers ever.
Yeah.
And I get so many like, oh, Zack Snyder's the best stuff targeted at me. And I don't know why.
Yeah, and there's like a circle pointing at a really tiny detail in a new Superman's costume, right? Yeah. And things like that.
Yep.
Do you know how to stop that? Is you don't look at your phone. That's what I realized recently. I was like, oh, I'm so much happier.
Mm.
Anyway.
Yeah. Rebel Moon.
You once threatened me, because we did an episode on part one.
Yeah.
Remember? And then you once threatened me that you're going to live react in chat, in WhatsApp chat to me about Rebel Moon.
I did do that.
Yeah, I remember.
It's awful. It's really bad.
Is it worse than the first one?
No, I think the first one was worse, actually. I'm going to put it out there. The first one was the team-up aspect of the first one was just so stupid. It was just so awful.
When they go to various people that we'd never learn about. Do you want to join? Yeah.
Yeah, you still don't learn about them, really, in the second one. No one actually has like an arc at all.
They have an action scene. That's almost like an arc.
Cool. Would you like to pick a winner?
Well, I think the obvious winner of streaming dumpster fire is Rebel Moon.
Yeah, I think I agree. Yeah. I think Rebel Moon. No, actually, you just to be awkward, you can pick that, because I feel that that does deserve an award, but I'm going to pick Damsel.
I would put that in most forgettable, because I already forgot, even though I just talked about it. I was like, what's Damsel? I immediately left my mind. Rick.
Hello.
Do you like to listen to bonus episodes on patreon.com/IHateYourMovie?
I love it more than anything else.
It makes my life so good.
I've grown 12 inches since listening to...
Where?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Did you know that on patreon.com/IHateYourMovie, we have our best episodes on the show for £1 plus tax. You can enjoy all our bonus episodes we do every month. We do things like trivia.
Current champion.
Oh yeah, fuck you. I forget, I hate you. We do things like...
Random film generators.
Random film generators.
We've watched films like Resident Evil 3 and Halloween No One Cares.
Halloween 2, the bad one. The other bad one.
No, the other bad one.
Not the other bad one.
No, the other bad one.
We get movie suggestions from our patrons and much more.
More.
So join this great community of people for £1 plus taxes a month. Patreon.com/IHateYourMovie. And let's go on to the Adam Sandler Award for They Just Wanted a Holiday.
This one's all you, buddy.
Well, we have Craven. Lots of different locations.
Yep.
Although not strictly like holiday destinations. But I can imagine the crew like, oh, I want to go to London. They probably didn't go to Russia.
Hey, really?
Just went to the field next to the studio.
Sprayed some snow on it and job done.
Yeah. Venom, what I imagine Venom to be like a holiday film is that if the crew wanted to go to Las Vegas.
Okay,
and they're like, oh, we want to go to the casinos, we want to film there.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
There's nothing more pointless than when he goes to the casino.
Yeah,
Vegas,
right?
In Venom 3.
So this could be a genuine, they wanted to go on a holiday.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Yeah, see, this is a genuine topic. And then, I think the biggest They Just Wanted to Go on a Holiday movie is Bad Boys Ride or Die. Is that a third one? No, that's the fourth one. The third one is called For Life, which should be the fourth one, because it's for life. Because they go on an island that looks really pretty.
That's the vibe of all the Bad Boys, though.
Yeah.
They're always in like some like nice like Miami Beach or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're always somewhere cool.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be as cool as they are if they were, you know, Southern Texas.
Yeah, I don't want to shit on Bad Boys too much, though. I kind of enjoyed it. It was just a weird throwback movie.
Yeah, it's very practically shot.
Yes, it felt like a real movie. It felt like not 99% of it was either in front of a green screen or the volume.
Yeah, it's like watching an early Michael Bay film.
Yeah. So I think the Adam Sandler Award for They Just Wanted to Go on Holiday should go to Bad Boys Ride or Die.
I feel like it's kind of an insulting award, so I don't want to give it to Bad Boys because that puts a negative spin. I'm putting it on Venom for going to Las Vegas for no reason.
And the whole crew gets a holiday.
Yeah.
Nice hotels. Spending money at the casinos.
The next category is Most Forgettable Movie. This category was hard to fill for obvious so? Reasons.
Oh, yeah, well, we forgot, yeah.
Yeah, for obvious reasons, this was quite hard to fill.
Can we just put in Damsel just now?
Yeah.
Damsel.
Damsel goes in there. It wasn't on our list, but someone's just handing us an envelope.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I put in Furiosa. Kind of like with the broken heart. I kind of like that movie.
Yeah.
But it's super forgettable. Like, I don't remember pretty much anything that happened in that movie. I mean, I remember the look, but the look is the same as Fury Road. So I think I just remember Fury Road, if anything. You know?
Yeah. I totally agree. Like, when I picture Furiosa, I can see her.
Yeah.
And then if I try and remember anything else about it, and it could have Tom Hardy in it.
Yeah.
Or Nicholas Hoult.
Yeah. It should have been, like, I get it that it's, like, they wanted to keep it close to the Fury Road movie, but I feel like it should have been like somewhat different visually, like some different location or differently color graded, or just make it unique visually, you know, and not just Fury Road again. That's the thing, like in Fury Road, it's a movie that just grabs your hand and never lets it go. And then I think that's quite unique in that. But the problem is this is like in the same world, and same characters. And like in the characters didn't really work in Fury Road. They were kind of two-dimensional. I remember Nicholas Hoult in that. One second he was mad crazy trying to kill Max and get the girls back. And then like 5 minutes later he was with them. Applied to this slower movie, it doesn't work. Because then your characters don't work, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the Mad Max Fury Road two-dimensional characters that worked in that movie applied to this slower movie. It doesn't work.
No.
And it's boring.
If you were going to change this category slightly to most forgettable performance, like my brain just went, oh yeah, Chris Hemsworth was in this.
No, he was the best part.
Yeah, but...
He's the only thing I remember, if anything. He's the most interesting part to me. But like maybe not in a good way. He's kind of chewing the scenery a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Has like a satirical performance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked him in that.
Okay. Yeah. Right, next one, Venom 3.
Goopy Venom.
Goopy Venom fights multi-goopy Venoms.
Yeah. Do you remember anything in that movie?
I remember the goopy Venoms.
I remember the lightning from our episode. I remember the famous saying, if the lightnings are coming, you better be running.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't remember in the film.
Oh, yeah. There was someone who got struck by lightning.
And they had this motto of, if the lightnings are coming, you better be running.
We've spoken about Bad Boys Ride or Die.
I feel like that's also forgettable.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
Yeah. It's only not, slightly not forgettable because it came out this year. If it was came out 15 years ago, it'd be like any movie, you know?
Yeah, I agree. You put a film in this category that I disagree with.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alien Romulus.
I thought you were going to say Kung Fu Panda 4. I kind of like, it's very similar to Furiosa, but I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
But I don't, other than the big spooky at the end, the big creepy basketball guy they dressed up, I don't remember anything else in that movie.
I remember quite a lot of this film.
Yeah,
I do. And that's why I've put something into a later category because of this film, because it's I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah. There's about 3 to 5 seconds of that film. If you take it out, the film becomes infinitely better. And it's leave her alone, you bitch.
Oh, yeah.
When it's just...
And not just that, I think, is also the resurrection of Ian Holm in terrible CGI.
Mm.
That was also like a unnecessary callback, you know? It's so weird because it doesn't fit in the movie at all, that leave her alone, you bitch.
No.
At all.
No, not at all. Even down to the person saying it. The person saying it is an android.
It's the android, yeah.
He has no emotion. He's a broken android and it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. I think that's also a problem with this movie problem with like the later Alien sequels is that the most interesting characters are the robots. And I think that shouldn't be in like a well-written movie. Like I get it, but like you're not gonna really care. And you don't care about the rest of the characters and they're boring. It has like the beginning had some cool elements. I like they're like working people and the company is screwing them over.
Mm-hmm.
I like that element of it. It was interesting. But then it just became another Alien sequel.
Last forgettable movie.
I forgot. Kung Fu Panda 4, which I've seen and you haven't.
No, I haven't seen Kung Fu Panda 4.
I think this was like a genuine little fun surprise. The art style was amazing.
Yeah.
And they look like they spent loads of money on it, like the animation. Or they just overworked the animators like they usually do, with whips and stonings. But the story is just the most cookie cutter, whatever. So yeah, that's why it's on there. But I like the art style, and I was more awake during that movie than most things on the list. I was like, oh, I was following along, you know. The animation kept me going, kept my interest going.
Cool, so what's your winner for most forgettable film?
Oh, it's going to break my heart. It must be Furiosa.
Yeah?
Yeah. Again, most forgettable, but I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Furiosa as well, actually.
Yeah.
It didn't catch me. I don't ever want to watch it again.
No. So we're doing worst sequel bait.
Worst sequel bait. So, yeah. Everyone loves an after credits scene.
Yeah.
And everyone loves cliffhangers that go nowhere.
Yeah. That obviously go nowhere. And, like, how would they ever think that it will go anywhere?
So we've spoken about Rebel Moon already.
Yeah.
They were really pushing it as like the next Star Wars. Like 20 years from now, we were going to be still talking about it. And they, like you said before, they were going to do games. They were going to do spin-off films. And they're not going to do any of it.
No.
Because it was rubbish.
I'm surprised they did part two after that.
Part one. Well, they filmed them back to back.
I know. But still, just this too embarrassing to release.
They had no advertising for it whatsoever. Mm. I remember scrolling through Netflix, and it was just there.
Yeah.
It was no kind of like, you log on, and it's, this is what's hot today. Mm-hmm. It was just, oh look, there's number two.
Yeah, you have to scroll down, 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 down.
Yeah, I was just looking through what films were on there, and it was like Rebel Moon Part 2.
I guess, if you want. <It's> no pressure. That was the subtitle.
And so, yeah, worst sequel bait, that's one. I think we can group a few together.
Yeah.
I think we can group...
Well, I don't know.
Yeah?
Because you want to do Kraven and Madame Web together. And Venom.
And Venom, yeah.
You can possibly do Kraven and Venom, but I feel like the worst one is Madame Web. In terms of worst.
No, the worst one is Venom.
It depends how you think worse, right? Because I think with Madame Web, they were still hoping that will go somewhere. But with Venom, it was also like closing off and clearly it's not going anywhere. So it depends what you think is worst is.
I think the worst is that because... When you introduce a character as massive as Null apparently is, and as powerful and as... It's basically Thanos. You've introduced Thanos, the film before the end. And just if you know it's not going anywhere and you know you're going to give up, why? Just cut it out.
Andy Serkis is the king of disappointing bad guys sitting in chairs. Yes, but you see, like, before you reminded me, I forgot about that. Because I'm like, obviously, that's not going anywhere, so it didn't even register in my brain.
So I can't remember the Madame Web one. What was the Madame Web one?
You know how they kind of introduced the spider ladies?
Yeah, yeah.
With their, like, flash forwards, scamming you into cinemas? They're like, oh, she has the glasses, and like, you're my spider ladies, and I'm going to guide you to be spider ladies.
See, that's not as bad for me, because, like, that's, you could have that as just be the end of the film, as like, right, this is the setup, and then they go and do their thing. But introducing Null is literally like Thanos in, oh, fine, I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
That classic scene.
It don't feel like that in Venom.
No.
Because of the rest of the ending is so, like, final. Like, Venom dies. They don't even try to give it a hint that he's back.
I think so, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They don't even. So, it just feels like some shit they put at the end. Like, whatever. So, it doesn't feel like the Thanos scene to me. But the Spider Ladies feel like they actually wanted to expand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But they just didn't.
So, yep.
And Kraven is very similar to Venom for me, where it's like, eh, whatever.
Kraven didn't have one, though, did it? Didn't have a post-credits.
Not post-credits, but it had a sequel bait.
Yeah.
It had a chameleon. I'm going to be... I can look like anyone, as long as they're tiny like me.
I can look like anyone, as long as they're 5 foot tall.
Yeah.
Even in the film, when he turned him around, his head looked like a bobblehead.
Yeah.
He looked like a Funko Pop.
Yeah.
I can be anyone. No, you can't.
As long as they're child-sized.
I can impersonate anyone between the ages of 10 and 15.
Yeah, it's a great superpower. So even that, I feel like they're just like, oh, whatever, we're done with this. We're just going to put it at the end because it's a tradition or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like Madame Web is the worst.
Okay. Well, you've also got First Omen on the list. Oh my god. So I've not seen First Omen. So tell me of some sequel bait.
I wish I'd seen this movie with you.
Yeah.
And I wish there was no one else in the theater. You know why? Because we would have laughed our asses off. And this is like one of the most confusing, if there's a most confusing movie this year in the category, it would be this. Confusing in like an audience reaction kind of way. Or like everyone seems to love this movie. It's the most predictable, boring piece of shit I've ever seen. And at the end, I laughed and I couldn't hold it back and people were looking at me in the theater. It's this very, very generic kind of exorcism.
Yeah, I get that. I got the gist of the thing. But what's the sequel bait? Like, oh, what happens
god.
At the end?
Oh my god.
Like,
because the movie is fairly serious until the very end. And then all of a sudden, so the ending is that the lady keeps the Satan baby.
Yep.
And then they go on hiding. And then there's a, I think it's actually a post-credits scene. Really dumb for a horror film. There's a priest who looks them up and then finds them. Is like, well, I found you. They're looking for you. Anyway, what's your baby's name? Damien. And that's how it ends. And I'm like, oh, so cringe and bad and awful.
Yeah, but isn't this a prequel?
It is, but it's so stupid. They give it like a Thanos, a Thanos ending. You understand?
I do understand, but it's like, it's not sequel bait if it's a prequel. There's already a sequel. That's the point of a prequel.
I guess maybe, but it felt very...
Maybe I see what you're saying. It sounds like it was like very Han Solo-y.
Yeah.
Or the Solo film, you know. This is how he got his gun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. If it's a prequel, you don't even need that scene.
Yeah. They should just cut it off and be like, what was his name?
That would be cool.
Mm.
His name was Satan, Mr. Satan.
Satan Jr.
Satan Jr.
Cool. I'm going to push you for an award.
Oh.
Sequel bait. My one is Venom 3.
Mm.
Venom 3. You introduce Thanos at the end of your franchise.
Hmm. I'm torn between Madame Web and First Omen. I did remember laughing a lot at that.
I don't think you can have First Omen be sequel bait when it's a prequel. I think just on technicalities alone, it has to go to Madame Web.
Fine, it's Madame Web for setting up the Spider-Woman film, which should have been the film they were making.
Which was 100% the film they advertised.
Yeah. It has everything a bad sequel bait you want. It has scam, it has disappointment. So, Madame Web it is.
This is the Sam Worthington Award for Forced Acting Career.
Yeah, if you don't know, Sam Worthington was in every movie between 2010 till 15 or something like that.
Do you remember him in Terminator?
You don't remember his face, but you remember him. Terminator, Avatar, fucking just everything.
I think this should be called the Sam Worthington Award for Luckiest Person Alive. But to have absolutely no talent whatsoever. Because he's the epitome of this. No talent whatsoever. And still be in like massive Hollywood films.
Yeah.
And get paid tons of money for it. Mm. All of the ones on my list are lesser examples of that. There are people that have just a little bit of, you know, there's something to them. But I have a massive issue with one of the people on this list.
I tried not to judge, to be fair. Genuinely. Like, I was less thinking about acting ability and more thinking about, you know, like when Chris Pratt was suddenly in everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking more along those lines, where it's just like an actor or Margot Robbie when she was in fucking everything.
Yeah.
It feels like an actor they were trying to shove down my throat, whether I like them or not. I was kind of going for that.
Okay.
Less than acting ability. I'm going to start with the one that I don't even know anything about. And I'm kind of being like purposefully ignorant now because I'm sick of him. It's, what's his name? That bad guy. Jeremy Allen White.
What is he in apart from that? I've only seen him in that.
So far, yes. And the Iron Claw. You know that wrestling movie?
Yeah.
Iron Claw. He's in that. And he keeps getting, like, he's one of those guys where he's like, oh, he's the next Indiana Jones. He's the next
James Bond.
He's going to be a hot Jedi, which I don't know how that's going to work physically.
A hot Jedi?
No, hot. Like Jabba the Hutt.
Okay.
He's going to be a big fat Jedi. Like a wheelchair or something. I don't know. A mobility scooter. I don't know how that's going to work. And like this bear show, as I don't know how, but I just somehow, I keep seeing it, but I still don't know what it's about. I mean, I know it's like cooking or something.
Yeah, it's about people that work in a restaurant and their lives around it, I suppose.
Apparently, it's a really popular show.
Yeah, I've seen people. One of the biggest shows on Disney.
Yeah, I've seen people doing like lookalike shows to this guy. I see his fucking face everywhere, and I keep seeing him introduced everywhere. Why? He's the next hot guy.
Yeah, but yeah, I suppose.
I don't know why he's like.
If you've not seen him in anything.
No.
Maybe he's brilliant. See, I think you've put a person on this list, Paul Mescal. He deserves to be in everything. Like I would watch him in literally anything.
Yeah.
I would love him to be the next Bond. Oh my God. I'd have a little dance. But I also don't agree that he's in everything. Like he's in Gladiator.
He's in Gladiator. He's in the Gay Kisses movie.
All of Us Strangers. Yeah, but that's not the Margot Robbie, Hollywood tentpole.
I included some people that are like up and coming. I knew that not all of them are going to be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I put in Timothée Chalamet, who I love.
Yeah.
In every way possible.
I just feel like you cannot put a Timothée Chalamet.
Shamalama Ding Dong.
I don't think you can have Shamalama Ding Dong in a category that mentions Sam Worthington, you know? It's just not the same. It's like...
Well, he's up for running because he's in many movies, but he's not going to win because he's not a bad actor.
Okay.
This is what my thinking was, right?
Okay.
So I had to put
curveballs in there.
Yeah, I had to put some people in there who I know they're not going to win, but, you know, they kind of feel like they're in everything nowadays.
Yeah, I feel the same about Florence Pugh, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, I think she's pretty good. She's good in most things that she does.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's very adaptable. And yeah, she's in quite a lot of stuff.
Mm.
Kristen Stewart was in Love Lies Bleeding.
What else?
For me, the Sam Worthington Award is for someone who just keeps getting cast in things, even though they're terrible.
Yeah.
That's my Sam Worthington Award. It's not in the same spirit you set it up as.
Okay.
That's why I added it, because that's what I thought it was.
Okay. I'm more focusing on the force aspect of it.
Sydney Sweeney seems to be in everything. She was in Madame Web. She was in Immaculate.
Yeah.
She was in that terrible film where she's anyone but you. Glenn Powell in it as well.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Tiny face man.
Glenn Powell's in everything.
Yeah. Yeah, he could be on this list.
Yeah, Glenn Powell should be on this list.
Yeah.
And I feel like with Sydney Sweeney as well, I think that does both of our categories because she's in everything, but everything I see her in, it's like, meh. It's all right, yeah.
I don't remember you being like that about her. I thought you were, when she was in Madame Web, you were more excited to see her.
I was, and then I actually saw it. Because everybody said how amazing she was.
Yeah. What about Joseph Quinn?
Yes, I agree with that.
He might be my pick.
Yeah?
Also, I have a story about him.
Yeah?
Somewhat personal.
Did you meet him?
Kind of. I was very close to him.
Did he know you were there?
No. I was at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah, exhibiting. I heard about this, yeah.
Yes, I've probably told you before. But this was when he was just in Stranger Things, and he was like a panelist, and it's terribly managed. It was like the worst managed Comic-Con, and they are all badly managed, so this is like saying a lot. But like apparently he had to do like a signing, and like people were rushing people off. And not letting them ask questions and stuff. And they made him cry. That's a great event when you make your star panelist cry. But yeah, he kind of just... I don't get him. He just looks like deer in headlights and everything.
Yeah, he looks surprised to be everywhere he is.
he's the most surprised person that he's famous than anyone else. Yeah, it looks... What am I doing here? And that's why every photo I see of him, every film he's been in, like, that's his face.
Yeah, in Gladiator 2, you always get the impression that he's kind of like scared that someone's going to take him away. You know, at any point, someone's going to turn up and be like, no, sorry, we got the wrong guy.
Yeah,
can you just come out and we'll just put the real guy in?
Hold on a second, you're not supposed to be famous. Let me take your famous card away.
Glenn, can you come here?
Yeah.
Glenn Powell, right? Oh, shit, no, swap him out.
I haven't seen Gladiator 2. Isn't he supposed to be like narcissistic and like projecting power or something?
Yeah, he comes off truly.
So yeah,
you know, just no.
Yeah, deer in headlights. So my nominee is him, Stephen Quinn. I'm not looking forward to him in Fantastic Four.
Do you mean Joseph Quinn?
Oh, Joseph Quinn. Whatever. I'm not looking forward to him in Fantastic Four trying to play like a cocky Johnny Storm with his deer in the headlights face.
Cool, I'm going to push you for a winner.
No, I said it. I just said it.
Oh, you just said you're picking Joseph Quinn.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Sydney Sweeney.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't think she'll be famous for too long. The next one is best costume or look. I tried to combine this kind of many categories at once. By the way...
You've got some interesting picks there, by the way.
Yeah. By the way, I put in a soundtrack or score category, and I just thought about it, and I can't remember anything being that memorable.
No.
Other than maybe The Substance a little bit. I was listening to that earlier, but even that wasn't that crazy. So just everyone loses in score this year, just want to say.
The best score of 2024 is the Superman trailer.
No, it's the Tron Legacy soundtrack. Until it gets surpassed, which will never be. So, we got Chris Hemsworth in Furiosa. I really liked how he looked. I really liked the red beard that he keeps rocking. I liked his cape, his stupid cape. I just liked how he looked. It was exactly to the character as he should be.
Yeah.
It's like this outrageous, larger-than-life character. What about the monster in Substance, which he had a name, but I forgot to look it up.
I think it was the monster.
He had like a proper like two names.
Oh, yeah, Monstro Elissa Sue.
Yeah.
Because it's Elissa and Sue.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Great. Great practical effect. Just seen some images recently with Margaret Qualley halfway into being made to that. And she's like smiling like with her half-missing teethy grin. <It's> like, I'm having fun, guys.
My question for that, did they actually like strap Demi Moore to her back?
I don't think that would be very practical. And the way they shot that, I feel like they were just cutting to it every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was probably not.
Okay.
No.
You think they had just like a square bit that Demi Moore was mm-hmm. in and they just kept cutting
yeah,
to it?
Yeah, and it was on her back as well. Yeah. So it was not always visible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wolverine, in Deadpool Wolverine.
That's what I'm very interested in you putting that into this category.
I mean...
Because you famously don't like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Is it just purely because they covered his face for once?
Finally. <Yeah. laughs> I wouldn't pick it as the winner, but I think it's noteworthy for like 25 years. It finally given this fucking costume and it's somewhat comic book accurate. It's not completely comic book accurate.
See, people care about comic book accuracy when it comes to costumes. I don't. It has to be something that someone would come up with. Because... The problem with comic book characters and comic book accuracy is that when you draw it, it has to be completely unique. So what you end up with is people with very, very strange outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense to put that into a real world setting. So I was actually a little bit disappointed when he put the helmet. Yeah, because the giant fans that come off the side of his head. Like
the blowjob handles.
Yeah.
That's about Deadpool, does it?
You know, you just wouldn't. Like, what would be the benefit in that if you were actually a person in a group of people fighting bad guys?
Yeah. The problem, you know, leading up until the Avengers and things like that is that the feeling of comic book movies were that they were scared to do, like, silly stuff, like comic books. They're scared to go all the way there, you know. And I feel like this costume is symbolizing, oh, they went there.
Okay.
And that's kind of, it's more what it symbolizes to me, I think. It looks good. It's not practical.
Yeah, it looks good. I think the whole suit looks good, to be fair. Mm-hmm. I was more happy about his, like, not the helmet, but everything else, it being bright yellow and X-Men-y and that kind of stuff.
So that's why it's on there. Big Boy Alien Human Hybrid, Alien Romulus.
I don't remember that at all.
What?
Not even a little bit.
That's the whole ending. They dressed up, they make-upped a very, very lanky basketball player.
Is it the same guy from the 28 Years Later trailer? Because he's lanky and...
even taller.
Okay.
Super tall and weird looking. I'm sorry, that guy, but... hey, he turned it into a career, so what can I say, you know? How do you not remember that?
I vaguely remember it. Wasn't she in some kind of, like, loading bay with a bunch of coal or dust or something?
Yeah, it was like the final boss, basically. Yeah. I just thought they were really cool. And they had, like, weird bits. He had, like, a little flap where his penis would be. So I'm like, ugh, that's weird. But I kind of like it.
Loving that alien penis.
Loving that alien flap.
Alien. So my addition to this was the Harkonnens.
You see, that one's June confusing thing. Me a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, they just wore, like, bin bags.
I just love the whole theme of it, you know? Not just any individual character, but like the whole vibe of the Harkonnens, the way they dressed them up. And was it Dune 2 that had the cool fireworks?
It does.
And the black and white kind of... I think if just as a as like an iconic thing, the bit you remember, the bit I remember most of Dune anyway, is the Harkonnens.
But like, you remember the fireworks, but not how they looked.
I do. I remember the fireworks going off and there was a big stand of Harkonnens.
Mm-hmm.
And they all looked black and white, and it was all, it's just a really like powerful image to me.
Okay, you're selling me. But I feel like outside of the planet, they're just guys in black suits.
Yeah, they're just rubber tires.
Yeah, so whatever. And the Duke or whatever, what was his name?
Bill Skarsgård?
Bill Skarsgård.
One of the Skarsgårds.
One of the Skarsgårds. Yeah, he just wore it like a bin bag. Just because he's, I think it was, the indication was that he's too fat for any suit. So he just wore this like black shiny thing.
It was, yeah, it was kind of like a kingly robe.
It's a bin bag. I'll go with the monster.
You're going to go with the monster?
Monster in substance.
I'm going to go with my pick, the Harkonnens.
Mm.
Next up, we have best pet in any film. Or best boy, like a good boy.
Yeah, good boy.
Good boy. Or good girl.
Who was the best boy? Was it the crocodile in Bad Boys Ride or Die? It was a big kind of, what's that word? When they're all white.
Country club.
No.
when they're golf tour.
When they have no pigment in their skin.
Albino.
Yeah, there's an albino crocodile.
Is there?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It's at the end. They're swimming around in this actually cool location, which is this disused kind of went to ruin crocodile park.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like a big albino crocodile that looks larger than any crocodile I've ever seen because it's CGI. And he's the bad guy. That's a good boy.
Doesn't he nearly eat Martin Lawrence?
Nearly. Okay. But not quite. Venom. Venom 3. He was like a dog, wasn't he? He was like a dog that can talk.
It's more like a child of ADHD.
Also, he becomes many animals. That's also why he's on the list.
Okay.
And that's the best scene
that's
in Venom.
That's the best bit of the whole film.
Yeah.
And when he jumps from being a frog and then a fish and then a...
And it becomes like a storybook for children. And then he was a fish and then he was a frog.
Have you seen Beekeeper?
No, but I thought that was a funny idea. Put down the bees in Beekeeeper. Was there any bees?
Or I don't know.
He's just called Beekeeper as in like John Wick.
My favorite thing about like Jason Statham's career is they just keep making up terms for assassin and then putting him in films. Because there was another one as well. There was the one where he's...
Was that the driver?
Yeah, the transporter.
The transporter.
But there's another one as well. The mechanic.
The
mechanic. And the beekeeper. And these are all like different terms for like assassin or like badass.
Yeah.
I feel like they're really scraping the bottom of the barrel with beekeeper.
The plumber. The tile scraper.
The store assistant.
The store assistant. Hey. We need someone to kill someone. Call the store assistant. To aisle 3. There's been a leak. Dogpool.
Dogpool.
Dogpool and Deadpool Wolverine. I like Dogpool, although they shouldn't animate his eyes. Or was it her?
I don't know. It's.
Its eyes.
I didn't like the jumps. The CGI jump when it jumps into his arm. It looks weird.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, you know, I see what you're saying with that. I hate the thing. I think it looks ugly as fuck.
But that's the appeal.
Not even in a funny, cute way. Everyone else is like, oh, it's so ugly. Oh my God, it's so cute and ugly. And no, it's ugly.
I think it's so ugly that it's cute. It goes all the way around.
I don't think it is. I think it's so ugly. Then I'm not going to finish that sentence. I was going to say it should be set on fire. But
it looks like it was already. Someone. The humans in Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. It's just a funny idea. And then you put in the facehuggers in Alien Romulus.
I misspelled
Romulus.
I just put all the words, all the vowels.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you put Alien Romulus as the most forgettable film earlier.
Yeah.
It was in that category. I feel like this is the best use of animal in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, it might win. Because they really made the facehuggers the bad guys. It's only quite near the end you actually get into the alien shit.
True.
And most of the film, they're fighting the facehuggers. And before that, that was just kind of like this pre-alien thing that happened. It was there, then it wasn't. You know, 10 minutes, it was over. And this was like scary.
Yeah, that's probably the only unique thing in that film.
Yeah.
Even the alien-human hybrid, it was a borrowed from a previous film.
Yeah. And like that scene where, I can't remember what was going on, but they had to like creep through and there was loads of them in the room.
Yeah.
It was just fantastic. It really took like that tiny bit of a film and made something of it.
Yeah. They're kind of like gremlins.
Scary-ass gremlins.
So is that your pick for best boy in any film?
Yeah.
I'll pick Dogpool.
Yeah.
I think that's cute. I know, I disagree, but that's fine. I just wish they didn't animate his eyes. It's just like overkill.
Most unique film.
No, this is where it's going to all fall apart, I think.
Okay, so to be honest, your list, pretty solid on this one. Yeah. I have added one thing.
I have so many questions about that.
And now...
And I protest already.
Right, so I understand the contradictory nature of putting a sequel onto most unique film. But, right, the category is most unique film of this year.
Okay.
And I think a kids' film...
Inside Out 2.
In which you really tackle emotions and you attack the subject of anxiety and anxiety attacks and all that kind of stuff in kids. In a year when your other kids' films are Knobhead and the Purple Crayon and other idiot films like that, Kung Fu Panda 4, I think it stands out. It's unique. So that is why I have put it in most unique film category.
You know what the most shocking thing is?
Go on.
That's the most profitable film of the year.
It doesn't surprise me.
It does me, because kids' films weren't doing great recently, and they made like $2 billion. It's crazy.
Yeah, it just doesn't surprise me, because it's a good film, start to finish.
Do you see it?
I have, yeah, yeah.
I kind of like the first Inside Out, but I wasn't too blown away by it.
I prefer Inside Out too.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, obviously things like, you know, sadness and anger are negative emotions. But I feel like it tackled, like, really negative emotions. And it tackled really kind of, like, mental health issues and that kind of stuff as well. Which is incredibly brave for a Disney film.
Okay. You sold me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad. You looked like you were really questioning.
I was.
At the start, you said you had so many questions. Did I answer all your questions?
It is a bit cheeky to put a sequel on this, but as a most unique film, but you talked your way out of it.
I'm glad.
No, I'm curious to check it out now. What's going to be in the third one? Kink, what are you doing here? Because she's going to be a teenager. Repressed sexual desires, what are you doing here?
Oedipal issues. What are you doing?
Daddy issues. What are you doing here? It looks exactly like the anger guy with the mustache. Wait, which one is which? That's the plot. They do the prince and a pauper situation with anger and daddy issues. Daddy issues is replacing anger. Riley is going to go crazy. I put the substance on most unique film. Yep. I feel like you would pick that. But I'm not going to pick that.
No?
Because in the 80s, there are lots of films like this. And I don't want to take away from the... Because it's great and I loved it. I don't want to take away from it. But in terms of like body horror mixed with social commentary, you know, lots of it. Like basically anything that David Cronenberg has done since the 80s, you know, and he's still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I just put it on there. Kinds of Kindness was pretty weird.
See, this is the... I'm going to struggle for definition on this one because unique for me has like positive connotations, whereas Kinds of Kindness was just weird. Like it was unique in that it didn't really make a lot of sense.
To you.
Well, to me, yeah.
I loved it.
But even you came out of it having a lot of questions.
Yeah, like, but that's a good thing. That's not always something. Yeah,
but that's having a lot of questions of something is the definition of it not making sense.
But for me, it made me think and I liked it.
Okay.
And yeah. I think it was more unique than The Substance in like it covered really weird topics that I'd never seen before, like what's being inside a cult is like, what suddenly someone disappearing from a relationship does to a person, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I agree with that, but it's, yeah, that will not be in my running.
Civil War.
Did you really think that was a particularly unique film? It just felt like a war film to me.
In terms of, well, it wasn't just a war film. I'd never seen this theme tackled before, which is journalistic integrity. And that was the whole film, what it was about. They were constantly going in the journalistic aspect, what's ethical, what's not ethical. You know, is it ethical to go to, up to the president with a bunch of army men and step on his face and ask him questions, you know, and things like that? And is it ethical to bring a young person with you who could be helpful, but you're going into a war zone?
Yeah, I think the part of that film that struck me the most is when they go to the gas station.
Yeah.
And they've got like these group of like armed men have got two guys tied up in the like the back garage.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, where do your ethics lie? Because like, should you free them? Mm-hmm. Should you say something about trying to free them?
No.
You know, when you're there just trying to document what's happening, how much involvement should you have in that?
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah. And that carries through all the way to the end when Kirsten Dunst dies because of that kid picked up a camera instead of pushing her away.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very potent. I really like that. Like, it's a very different theme.
Yeah.
I know people are very disappointed that it doesn't really take a stance or something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because the trailer made it look like that and that was kind of a problem. But when you're actually watching the movie, that doesn't really matter because it's not about that.
It's not about that. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of my biggest issue with the film. It's kind of like the false advertising of the film. It's not what I went to see.
Yeah. There's lots of fuckery with advertising on that movie. There was some AI bullshit as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I'm not happy about it. And I put Maxine on here as well.
Yeah?
Just so that we have put Maxine somewhere. Miss Poor Things.
Poor Things. I would class that as very unique. Everyone in it is brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely everyone. Start to finish. From the person who painted the set to the director of the whole film.
Yeah.
And everyone in between.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fantastic.
And then there's Megalopolis. Definitely a unique film.
I have a really fond feeling about Megalopolis.
Really?
I do, yeah. I don't know why. I don't remember almost anything about it apart from Aubrey Plaza being fantastic.
Yeah.
And Adam Driver looking miserable.
I'm so confused about this movie. A lot of people seem to hate it.
I don't know what's to hate about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's so harmless. You know, I hate movies when it's like Modern Web and it scams you, you know? Or when it's obviously badly made. And this one was, like, badly made in ways, like in the screenplay way and kind of editing. But, like, you know, whatever.
And that was our category for most unique film.
Yeah.
I'm going to disagree with you and agree with you at the same time.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm going to disagree that The Substance isn't unique, and I'm going to pick it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How is that agreeing with me at the same time?
Because you put it in the category. It's most unique to me.
I'm going to pull a shocking one.
Yeah?
And I really try to isolate the unique word, just to let you know.
You're
going to
pick Fall Guy?
No, I'm picking Megalopolis.
Yeah?
That's the most unique film.
Yeah, you're right.
It is so weird and different, and there's literally nothing like it. And you can take that in a bad way or a good way. And I kind of take it in a mixed way, but it is unique as fuck.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
You know, his face gets blown up and he gets a virtual skull. Like, the fuck? he builds a flower utopia.
With not enough people, enough housing in it to house everyone.
With very slow travelators. It's just a really, really strange movie. Mm-hmm. So, that really just concentrating on the word unique.
Yeah, I dig it. Funniest moment.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a couple in here I don't understand.
Oh, okay.
No, there's one in here I don't understand. And I want to add something. And it's from the same film.
Okay.
I feel like there was only one film this year that was funny.
Oh.
Like, that I really laughed at. And it was Deadpool and Wolverine.
Okay.
If you're picking funniest film, there's nothing even close. This comes first, second, third, fourth, fifth. There are things that are humorous.
Mm.
Poor Things is humorous.
Yeah.
There are parts of Kinds of Kindness that are humorous.
Yeah.
And there are parts of The Substance that are funny. But yeah, Deadpool, Wolverine. So I'm adding the dance from the intro of a Deadpool and Wolverine.
Sure, yeah.
The bye, bye, bye.
Yeah, I feel like that's also the most part of the movie that's going to age the most, because then everyone did the fucking dancing dance, and it was all over on TikTok, and it was everyone's doing the stupid fucking dance, and it got really old really fast. But it was funny, and like that, if you watch like a interview with like Ryan Reynolds before the movie comes out and then watch that movie. It's so funny because he's like, of course we're going to respect Logan's legacy. And then they like immediately shit on it, but like in a funny way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know anyone that took that negatively.
It's almost too different that you can really separate it, you know?
I'm adding that. So do you want to go Deadpool, something else, Deadpool, something else, Deadpool, something else, Deadpool? Or do you want to go all Deadpool and then do your...
Let's do best Deadpool.
Best Deadpool.
Best Deadpool, funny. So I put in the Suck It Fox when he talks to the camera.
Yeah.
And I'm going to Disneyland.
I'm also going to add in when he turns to Logan and he's like, congratulations on joining the MCU. You're joining in a bit of a low point.
Yeah. You see, yeah, there could be a lot of things. And then there's the Johnny... middle of the movie and post-credit scene.
Yeah.
Like together, kind of.
It's, for me, it's when he's talking to Blade and everyone. It's after Johnny's died.
Oh, okay.
It's after Johnny's died and he's like, have you seen Johnny? No, but we'll go find him. What Johnny would have wanted. What, he's dead? And it goes back and forth and it's just so funny. Everyone in the cinema was laughing at that, like, out loud, which is just a fantastic moment. It's one of my favorite moments of the year. It's just being in the cinema watching Deadpool and Wolverine and actually having people around me laughing and enjoying the film. And you don't see that very often. It's rare.
Mm-hmm. So which one is your favorite out of those?
Out of those, I think I laughed most at Johnny, but that's just him rambling. Mm-hmm. That could just be anything. I think for like production value, you have to go with Bye Bye Bye.
Sure, we'll pick that. What I laughed most in any movie this year was the boob eject scene from The Substance, which I don't know what else to call it. When the monster, spoiler alert, watch this movie. When the monster goes up on the stage and then starts hurling, or starts like behaving weirdly.
Yeah.
And then like weird things is coming out of one of her nostrils or postures or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just whatever. And then it turns out to be like a boob that's on a like a string or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a boob in a sock.
A boob in a sock, yeah. It just like flops on the floor and then it just becomes crazy after that. So I was not even just the boob coming out, but the whole sequence, I was just howling.
Yeah?
Oh, I was laughing so hard, my stomach was hurting.
My stomach was hurting for completely different reasons.
It's just so crazy and over the top. I loved it. Do you remember the home video bit in Cans of Kindness?
I do remember that.
We can forget. If, in case you haven't seen this movie, and you probably haven't because no one's seen this movie.
Rightly so.
There's this guy, his wife disappears.
Yep.
And then he goes up to their like old couple's friends.
Yeah,
and
they got a little group of friends.
He spends time with them, and he there's this dinner where he keeps trying to make them watch like an old home video they used to do. And you think like, oh, they keep talking about it.
Yeah,
like
they're going to be in the yard playing ball.
Yeah,
or,
you know,
the beach.
And it's an orgy.
Yeah, it's a sex tape.
It's a sex tape of all four of them doing it, and it's very graphic. And it's very the contrast of them having like adult dinner, you know, like wines and stuff. And then that is really funny. There's the stop singing in Joker 2.
I don't remember stop singing.
No!
No. What? Does somebody at some point say to stop singing?
Yeah! That's the only funny bit in Joker 2, and unintentionally. It's at the end, Joaquin Phoenix, they're on the Joker, Kiki down the stairs.
Okay.
And then Lady Gaga is like, oh, I fucked you over, blah, blah, blah. I don't know why she sings, but Joaquin Phoenix just puts his hand in his face, and he's like, stop singing, please stop singing. And we all relate to that.
Echoing every single viewer's point of view. What are you picking?
I gotta go with the one I laughed at the most, which is the boob eject scene in The Substance.
I'm going with Bye Bye Bye.
Yeah.
Or just most of the Deadpool film in general.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I laughed at quite a lot at that movie. It does, I feel like it laughed at half the things it tries to make you laugh, but that's enough, because it constantly tries to make you laugh. That's the worst movie of the year.
Worst movie of the year.
I just put in Red One because I didn't know what else to put Red One in. But I know you probably won't pick it.
So we've spoken about a lot of these already. First Omen, Kraven the Hunter, Joker 2, Venom 3, Megalopolis, Madam Web, Rebel Moon 2, Furiosa.
Mm-hmm. I don't like your Furiosa ending.
No.
I picked it as most forgettable, but I don't think that's a bad movie. It's a well-made movie.
I don't think it's a a winning contender, but I wanted it in there for worst movie because I didn't enjoy it.
Fair enough.
For me, in this category, there is only one winner. There is only one winner, and it stands high and mighty above the others. In a field of, like, shit, there is one elephant shit. There is one, you know, that shit from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
You know? The woman puts her hand in and picks out some nuts and is like, ooh, look, this is, shouldn't be eating this.
Mm.
No one should be eating Madame Web, any part of Madame Web. It is just the absolute creme de la shite of everything. Start to finish, it makes no sense. It's poorly acted, it's poorly written, it's poorly directed, it doesn't go anywhere. False advertising start to finish, to the point where I'm amazed no one sued.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
Yeah.
It has no redeeming qualities whatsoever. So, yeah, that is my pick for worst movie. Hands down. Honourable mention to Joker 2.
Mm.
Because I think Joker 2 as a standalone film is rubbish. But when you compare it to Joker 1, if you go into that film with the expectations of Joker 1, you will probably find it Madame Web-esque.
Mm-hmm.
But on its own, it's just bad.
What do you think is worse? A movie that's bad, but like kept up your interest or made you laugh? Or a movie that's just so boring, it just nothing registers? Like if it's basically a funny bad movie or a boring movie?
I think we've spoken about this before, like, what do you put in what category? And does it come down to what people are trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
Madame Web annoyed me.
Yeah.
It actively made me angry. And even though there was parts of it where, you know, you could laugh at it, it was... So, yeah, I think bad.
Okay.
I think bad.
But you think bad is worse than boring?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to disagree with you there. It's going to be reflected in my worst movie.
Okay.
Because I think... I'd rather laugh at Madame Web, I'd rather rewatch that 5 times and laugh at every time than feel absolutely nothing. Go into like this sensory deprivation tank and just feel nothing and not even hallucinate weird shit. Just like absolutely nothing, like I'm dead. Like that is, to me, is the worst thing. So I'm going to pick Joker 2.
And that's a fair result.
Yeah.
That's a fair result.
I absolutely, other than what I just said, I laughed at when he said, stop singing. And other than that, I felt nothing, absolutely nothing throughout the film. I could have been doing anything else and enjoyed myself. I could have been looking at paint drying and examined that very closely. And I would have had a more enjoyable experience than watching Joker 2. Remember what I was like in the cinema? I was just like trying to curl up and be in an embryo position and die. I kind of want to talk about like the defense of Joker 2 from people who like it for some fucking reason.
Okay.
Especially Tarantino, who really liked Joker 2. Did you see that?
No.
Fucking hell. I'm even more annoyed now at Joker 2, reading all the people who defend it and how they defend it. Because how they defend it is like, oh, it's a punk rock film. You know, it shits on the studio, it shits on the audience. And no, I love those movies. I love Freddy Got Fingered. Mm-hmm. I love Gremlins 2. I love Deadpool of Wolverine. I love films that have aspects in it where, like, kind of get trolled. I like that. This is not that. This is just boring shit. If Joaquin Phoenix would spread his cheeks and took a big shit in front of the screen, that would be different. That would be a trolling move. But no, he's just in a boring fucking trial that goes nowhere. And it's just boring. So I don't accept this defense of this film that it's supposed to be trolling the audience, bro. Fuck that.
No, there's none of that.
No.
There's nothing that made me uncomfortable or kind of question my own beliefs in any way.
Yeah, so fuck that. It's just a waste of money, a waste of effort, a waste of digital space. So that's worst movie.
Now onto the positive. Let's get the negativity out. Let's push it out. Let's shit it out. We got 3 categories coming up and they're all the best.
Yes.
What we believe is the best of this year. Best actor or actress.
Yeah. I'm surprised you weren't more argumentative on the nominations list there.
I do have one big problem with one of them.
Okay.
But it's not his fault. Right, so...
I think I know her.
It's not his fault. He did the best with the material that he was given, but Paul Mescal does not deserve to be in the category for Best Actor for Gladiator 2.
Yeah, I just, again, that's one of those things where I put it on because I didn't... I kind of wanted to just remind you that Gladiator 2 exists. So you can put it in anywhere else, but, you know.
So in response to you putting him on there for Gladiator, I have put him on here for All of Us Strangers.
Yeah.
Which I am now realizing I did not research to see if it came out this year. It didn't, 2023.
Oh, shit. Is it the American release? Check UK. Oh, yeah.
No, 26th of January 2024, UK release.
Told you. It's always, that always happens, no matter if it's a British film. The Americans have it in, like, December and November, and we get it in February.
Yes, that's why, thankfully, just about squeezed it in. All of Us Strangers, Paul Mescal. Yeah, that's why he's there.
Okay. I put in both Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley for The Substance.
Rightly so.
I'm more Demi Moore.
Yeah.
Give me more. give me more Demi Moore. If I give anyone the edge, it's Demi Moore, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would go Margaret Qualley.
I knew you would.
Because she's just so over the top and she plays it perfectly.
Yeah.
I think anyone could do like old lady curmudgeon quite easily.
I feel like Demi Moore was more like subtle about it. Well, not always. And it was like a more rounded out character. Margaret Qualley was almost like a stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm going with Demi Moore on that one.
Demi Moore gets the yearly award for being a good sport and just going along with whatever the fuck is happening in that film.
Going along with being dressed up as saggy tits Gollum. But also Margaret Qualley, you know, like she had even more prosthetics.
Mm-hmm.
She's just kind of almost unrecognizable.
Mm-hmm.
In that big monster costume. Demi Moore is very recognizable as saggy tits Gollum.
Talk to me about Emma Stone in Poor Things.
Oh, the big surprise. Well, it's just amazing. I recently rewatched Poor Things.
Yeah.
Such a good performance. And it's like so consistent. Like you can really see her from being like Frankenstein, firebed kind of language capabilities and motor skills. It's like it's subtly changing throughout the film. And you barely notice. But by the end, and you think back how she was at the beginning, it's like it's just like a complete different person. It's so good. At the beginning, she's very like adventurous and outgoing and wants to see the world and so like excited.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, she kind of becomes like a curmudgeon. She becomes like very serious, straight to the point kind of person. And just balancing that with like comedic scenes and dramatic scenes, it's just too much to handle, I think. And she handled it all well.
Yeah, I can't say it better than that.
Yeah.
I think that's everything you've just said is 100% true. And yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. A shout out to Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction.
Shout out.
Yeah, he's not going to win. What? I really like that film and I really like him in it. He's in there for a reason. He's not going to win.
You made that sound so bad.
Hey, I put him on the list.
Shout out.
He's great.
Okay.
He's not going to win.
He is very good in that.
He elevates that film.
He does.
Yeah. With his, again, very dual performance. He's got like a little performance cake. He has to pretend that he's a smarty, writery guy. And then on top of that, he has to act like he's a stereotype. And then, but he's not super confident in acting like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just like shy about it, but he tries to do it. So it's a very complex performance.
Yeah, I thought it was a good film. I'm glad we went to see it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's not my kind of usual film. It was a bit of a, what I like to call my leg is hurting kind of film. At least half of it, where it's like...
The what?
My leg is hurting.
Okay.
That's what I call slice of life films, you know?
No. You desperately need to explain what you're talking about.
Do you know what slice of life film?
I do know what slice of life, but why is your leg hurting?
Because I feel like I've seen a movie before where a guy's leg is hurting and that's the movie. You know, and that's kind of like slice of life.
Okay.
So that's why I call slice of life movies. My leg is hurting movies. They're not usually what I go for because they're not as strictly written as I like them to be. But it was like a good mix. That was like half of the movie. And then the other half was like, yeah, this social commentary aspect of it. It's really funny. So who's your pick?
Who is my pick? That is a good question. You had a very, 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 very strong argument for Emma Stone in Poor Things. But I'm going to give it to Margaret Qualley.
Okay.
For The Substance.
I'm going to give it to Paul Mescal in Gladiator 2. A movie I haven't seen. No, I'm going to give it to Emma Stone in Poor Things.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah.
On to Best Screenplay. We've spoken about all of these films already.
Yeah.
Poor Things, The Substance, Civil War, American Fiction, and All of Us Strangers. All of Us Strangers, if you don't know the plot of All of Us Strangers, is... There's this guy, he's going through a lot of stuff, like a lot of mental health issues, and he keeps traveling to his... family home from when he was a kid, but his parents are there, like the same age they were when he was a kid. I think they died when he was a kid, and he goes home and his mum and dad are there, as they always were, or they always were in his head, and he visits them, and there's a really interesting interaction where he like talks to them about his current life, and it's a really interesting like concept for a film.
Isn't this the game movie?
It is the game.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good.
But he talks to his parents. He's like 30 years old, and his parents are obviously 25 years ago. It was a bit of a different scene on, you know, what you could tell your parents and if you, about coming out. And yeah, it's just a very interesting thing, start to finish.
There's more to this movie than I remembered.
Yeah, I imagine you just picture it as gay porn.
No, no, actually.
It took a while for you to get insulted by that.
Actually, no. But I did imagine it more simple than that.
Okay.
I imagine they're more like a Brokeback Mountain sort of situation.
Okay.
Because that's what the trailer looks like. I don't remember anything from the parents' kind of situation. So, God, this is tough.
Do you know what I'm going to pick for this?
Yeah.
And I think... Poor Things and The Substance is just weird.
Sure.
Civil War is just written like a war film.
It's not about war. I don't know why I keep saying
because
that.
Because it's not about war, but it feels like a war film, you know. There's these people that are in a war zone, and it's about what they do within that war zone that matters, you know. It's the same in war films where you have like, you know, a guy kicks down the door and there's a family of people there and a gunman behind them. Like, what's your morality there? Do you shoot everyone so that he can't shoot you? Because to me, that's what war films are about. It's not just about kind of like big tanks. Anyway.
Saving Ryan's privates.
Shaving Ryan's privates. It's an actual film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that's the gay porno you went to watch.
All of Us Strangers is good, but it's nothing spectacular. So I think the most meticulously written one, in that it's so well written start to finish, is American Fiction.
Yeah, it's like the most constructed.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Like you really feel like even every like look to the, not to the camera, but you know, the sly looks, the little expressions on Jeffrey Wright's face was kind of written into the script. It's very well done, start to finish.
I'm very torn.
Like Natalie Imbruglia, you are torn.
You said that joke to me before, and I had to research and editing what the fuck you're talking about. And I still don't remember what it was, but I cut in some sort of music. I remember that. I'm going to pick Poor Things.
Yeah, I can see that.
It just balances a lot of stuff. It balances like a road movie. It balances like the Frankenstein element and like the female coming of age kind of stuff. It's balancing a lot, juggling almost, you know, it's one of those. And it's all done to a T. And it is weird, but the weirdness doesn't come out of nowhere. The weirdness is like part of the movie and everything that's set up is paid off. So to me, that's it. Like American Fiction is the most like constructed one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit eclectic to me where it's a mix of My Leg Hurts plus a kind of social commentary movie.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish it was one or the other instead of both, you know?
I understand. I think that's what keeps it interesting.
Sure.
If you separate the plots of American Fiction, I think you get two much lesser films.
I mean, I just think, like, you know, did we really need to see that the maid gets married off?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Things like that.
Okay.
Did we really need to see that the sister dies? It doesn't really add too much to the film.
True, but I think that comes down to editing. I think that comes down to direction.
Sure.
You know, I think a lot of these films probably have scenes in them, written into them, that would be excessive, that you cut out.
Yeah, you make a movie three times. Once when you write it, once when you direct it, and once when you edit it.
Mm-hmm. So, best movie.
Are we at best movie?
We are at best movie.
It's gonna get contentious, because it's Madame Web.
Okay, so the nominations. You want to do the things? You want to do the
yeah.
All right. So the nominations for best film are as follows. All of Us Strangers. Gladiator 2.
I don't know. I look good.
Heretic. The Substance. Deadpool and Wolverine. Alien Romulus.
I had to fill it with something.
Normally nominations have like four.
No, the Oscars is 10.
Then they screen it down to four. For the ceremony, they do four.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah, they show... You may okay. like they got the four cameras on the four people.
Okay, sure.
Right. Dune Part 2, Civil War, Kinds of Kindness, Poor Things, and American Fiction.
Yeah. I'll say this about Dune Part 2. I think it's my least, like, Denis Villeneuve film.
Yeah.
But that's like a high bar. I think it's still a really good film. But I think it's just one of his lesser films. It's kind of a mess in terms of pacing.
Mm-hmm. I remember it just ending weirdly. It felt like there was more to it, and it just ended.
Yeah, because they're making a third one.
I am finding this very difficult.
I have a pick.
You have a pick?
I have a pick, and it's controversial.
I'm torn. Like Natalie Imbruglia. I'm torn.
Yeah.
Because I think the film that kind of like wowed me the most, that kind of came out of nowhere, I wasn't particularly excited about it, but it turned out to be brilliant, was The Substance.
Yeah.
And my eyes gravitate towards that massively when I'm reading this list.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the best film has to be the one I like the most. Or at least, you know, the one that I would watch again and again and again and again. And of all of these brilliant films on this thing, all of these unique, well-written, well-acted films, the one I like the most is probably Deadpool and Wolverine.
Okay. Hey, but it's your favorite or best movie for whatever reason.
So you say yours, and then I'm going to hedge my bets.
Yeah.
Because if you say The Substance, then I don't have to. But if you say Poor Things...
I'm not going to say The Substance.
Are you not?
I really enjoyed it. I have a bit of thing with it where I'm just couldn't connect with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really... I'm really like anti-beauty. Or not anti, but...
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't care. I can't really get into a character's head who's so obsessed with beauty that they would do that to themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to pick something you've been slagging all throughout.
You are not picking Kinds of Kindness.
No.
Thank God.
But it's up there.
But it's... You're going to pick Civil War?
I'm going to pick Civil War.
You're going to pick Civil War. I have not been slagging off Civil War. I have just been saying it's a war film.
I just don't think it's a war film. I think... I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
It is a movie so good, I don't want to see it again.
Yeah, okay.
Do you get that?
I do. I felt the same with Joker 1.
Okay.
I watched that and then I never watched it again.
I have a few movies that I'm like, I just don't see them again because I liked them so much the first time that I feel like the second experience would lessen it, which might not be true. There's a few of them. There's Blade Runner 2049 was like that for me. So yeah, he had like almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
He had the tense situations, he had like some action, he had social commentary, he had amazing filmmaking, interesting complex characters, a great kind of like moral questions. It's just like, well, you know what it kind of reminded me of is like a great Star Trek The Next Generation episode.
Okay.
Where it's like has like great ethical questions and you gotta like think about it. And it's just brilliantly filmed. I love that guy.
Alex Garland.
I love him. I love everything he does. And this is, you know, this is just another one. When Annihilation came out, that was my favorite film. Probably when Ex Machina came out, that was my favorite film of the year. So he's like, he's going to win. Probably any time a new movie of his comes out, that's going to win. Because he's like the utmost up there for me. in terms of I'm almost like jealous of him. He's so good, you know? And that's rare for me, because I slag on a lot of stuff. But I'm jealous of him. I'm so jealous of him, of making a movie so good and balancing all that stuff and making it interesting and making it tense and like shooting it beautifully.
And there's like really subtle moments in there as well that it's kind of, and there's grief and there's loss and it has everything.
Yeah. So Civil War is the best movie of 2024 for me.
Okay. I'm going to go with Deadpool and Wolverine. I just, damn, it was funny. It was hilarious, and it was...
No judgment from
it
me.
It was once...
A little bit of judgment.
It was, yeah, it just... Sometimes you kind of just got to go with the popular vote.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just exactly what it says on the tin, and it did it brilliantly.
It did it to the T of what that movie should be.
As a long-time MCU fan, it did exactly what it needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is have those characters in it, be funny, be exciting, have good action scenes, and just create an atmosphere of like people wanting to see it and wanting to see the next one.
Yeah.
I think without that film, the next Captain America film, regardless of how it's going to be, would have bombed. People wouldn't have bothered. Now you've got Deadpool and Wolverine. As part of the MCU, people will start getting excited about the MCU again.
I don't think so.
I think they will.
It feels to me like a separate thing. I don't think people who are excited for like a parody movie, the people make jokes, are going to be excited for like a patriotic movie.
Captain America films have never been particularly patriotic.
Well, whatever you want to call it, like a bureaucratic movie then.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like the president turns into a big Hulk. whatever the fuck happens. It just doesn't seem like the same category for me, even though they're in the same universe, you know?
We'll wait and see.
Yeah, it's on Valentine's Day. They're trying to get that sweet, sweet couples cinema tickets.
Cool. That was our award ceremony.
Yeah.
The splatties.
The splatties. Comment below.
On all the things you disagree on.
On all the things you disagree on. We will not read it.
we'll read it and then we'll dismiss it instantly.
Yeah, exactly. We'll like it. And that's a sarcastic like, fuck, this is long.
Yeah, it's like 3 hours, man.
I thought it was going to be like a 20-minute video. We didn't even do best kiss. Which I put in the first draft of this. There wasn't enough kisses in movies this year.
Best kiss was Dogpool. And Deadpool.
There you go.
There you have the definitive list of the best and the worst.
Objective truth.
Cool. Oh, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
We look forward to an amazing 2025.
Yeah.
Films. You'll probably... No.
No, we're not looking forward to 24.
I was going to say, you'll probably see us next in our Nosferatu.
No, he's going to see us in Frenury. When we do
Frenury,
where I showed Rick movies that he loves. And it was both 10 out of 10 experiences.
Yeah, join us for The Road to Seven.
The
Road to Seven, or Frenury.
Frenury.
Where Dan desperately tries to recommend me films that I will really, really like.
Yeah. Will it succeed? Will he not? He won't.
Hilarity ensues.
Bye.
Bye.
Madame Web is a truly dynamic character.